Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, all. Happy Monday. Let's dive in to soap today. Let's pray in and see what God has for us. Amen. All right. Dear God, thank you for today. God, we come to you this morning with hearts of thankfulness and gratitude. Not just for who you are in our lives, God, but just for who you are as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Creator. God, thank you for all you're doing in our lives, in our hearts, in our church, in this season. Thank you, God, for the people you're bringing into our lives, into our church, into our families, God. Help us in this time to hear from you, Lord. Open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to your word. Help us to walk in true thankfulness and gratitude and light and love. Help us be an example for others today through what we learn and hear in your word. I ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that I would decrease and you would increase. Holy Spirit, come and have your way and teach us, your people, you love so dearly, God, what you have for us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's dive in. We are in Ephesians 5 this morning. So I'm reading out the NIV this morning, and like I said, we're continuing our study on thankfulness and what it means to give thanks in this season, right? And Ephesians 5 actually picks up where the Apostle Paul left off in the previous chapter in Ephesians 4, and the previous portion is entitled Instructions for Christian Living. And so I want to go back a little context, right? In Ephesians 4, verse 17, he starts off by saying, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." In the NLT version, it says, "They live hopelessly confused." In the Amplified version, it says, "That they live with foolishness and emptiness of their souls." All right? So it kind of gives some context as we're going into chapter 5 here. Okay? So again, Paul talking about instructions for Christian living. And then here in Ephesians 5, verse 1, it starts off saying, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must be no hint, not even a hint, of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because of these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath has come on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This next portion is entitled Instructions for Christian Households. Verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen to God's word. All right, so diving in. Grab your caffeine, grab your water, whatever you need. See what God has for us. So, starting off here, the very beginning, verse 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So right here, we're getting that reminder of that title we have, right? Our position as dearly loved children. And what's the beauty of children? They learn by example, right? So as children learn by the example of their parents, so we too, as dearly loved children, need to learn by the example of our Heavenly Father, right? Follow God's example and walk in the way of love. And I love, I always love reading different translations to kind of get a different perspective, right? And so the way of walk in the way of love is how the NIV translation puts it. The New Living Translation, it says, live a life filled with love. In the Amplified Version, it says, walk continuously in love, that is, value one another, practice empathy and compassion, unselfishly seeking the best for others. The Passion Translation, it puts it as, walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. So here, we see all these different ways, right? Different translations, how they put it, but the key focus is love, right? It's an example of, just as John speaks of in John 13, he writes what Jesus said. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I, Jesus, he says, as Jesus have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. As when we walk in the way of love, as dearly loved children, it shows who we are as children of God, right? It's that example Jesus has set before us. We're being called to follow, right? Again, it's a way, walk in the way of love. It's not just a words or teachings or feelings or a soap podcast, right? But it's the actions we put behind it. It's living out, walking out that way of love, right? And even in Matthew chapter 7, right, it says, to enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So this way we're walking in love, this way of following Jesus, remember, it's a narrow path. It's a narrow gate we're walking through, right? It's not the way of the world. You know, walking in the way of love, as we read here in Ephesians, is very counterculture to what we see today, what we hear today, what the world tells us love really is, right? And I love too how back when this was being written by Paul, followers of Jesus were actually called followers of the way, right? That term Christian wasn't around yet. And so you're being called at this time being followers of the way, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're a follower of the way that Paul is speaking to here, and Paul is saying to walk in the way of love, it adds more context, right? To what is the way? What is Jesus' way? What is the way we should be walking as dearly beloved children? It's a way of love. Amen. So what does that look like? Paul is so gracious, he tells us, right? Verse 3, but among you there must be no, not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscenity, he goes on to say, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, right? These things are all ways that are, again, the world may say is love. The world may say, you know, physical attraction, physical desire is love. They may say that love of money is okay. They may say love of, you know, power or love of, you know, getting people's, the laughs of an improper joke, right? Those are all ways that the culture and the world says is love. To feel love, to show love, to express love, whatever, you know. But the reality is, as Christians, as walking in the way of love, not through, again, not through just words, but through actions, right? It's not letting these kind of things come into our lives. It's not letting ourselves give into our flesh, give into the world, right? It's the true mark of maturity as disciples, as followers of Jesus, as people who walk in the way of love, is how we act towards others and towards ourselves. And how that reflects, again, as dearly loved children, reflects the example we're shown by Jesus and by our Heavenly Father. And it sounds harsh, right? Paul writes and says that such a person is an idolater, right? Because the question is here, are we idolizing the way of the world or the way of love that he writes about? Are we idolizing our flesh, idolizing money, or the acceptance and the opinions of others through the words we're speaking to get a laugh, to get, you know, people to be fit in, right? Or are we idolizing and giving thanks to God for adopting us into his inheritance, into his kingdom? And that comes through, again, praying and giving thanks daily, submitting our day, our words, our actions, our thoughts, every day before God. And not just the beginning of the day when we wake up, it's before, during, and even after our day. It's asking God for wisdom and for guidance. We would be led by him, be led by the Spirit, and be his example for others, right? So we don't allow ourselves to have that time with God, to follow his example. And again, the best way to follow someone's example is spend time with them, right? How do our kids, how do our nieces and nephews, you know, how do our cousins, how do they learn from us and from their parents? They spend time with their parents, spend time with their family, spend time, you know, in a community of believers. And just like us, when we spend time with Jesus, we get to know Jesus. We get to follow his example, right? And praying, giving thanks daily. You see Jesus do this throughout the Bible, right? Him giving thanks before he breaks bread, giving thanks at the Last Supper. In the good moments and the hard moments, he's always giving thanks and praying and submitting himself daily to his Father's will. And that's the example we're being called to follow in the way, to walk in the way of love. And when we ask for wisdom and guidance by the Holy Spirit, we can be further led in that example and further be that example for others. Amen. So first application question, I'm actually going to borrow from Pastor Brendan, from his message yesterday of having a daily gratitude journal of God's faithfulness. When was the last time you wrote down or recorded God's faithfulness and gave him gratitude in your life? And maybe you do that already, and that's amazing that you do. I'm so proud of you. That's great. But if you're not yet, it's a great way to start your day, or to take a break during your lunch break, or to end your day, or do all three, right? So first application is to record or at least daily start before you even get out of bed. If you're not writing it down, I'm that person who likes writing things down, I'll be honest. But every day before I get out of bed, I don't my feet don't hit the floor. I don't turn my alarm up, my alarm completely off until I give thanks for the breath in my lungs, for the roof over my head, for the family in the beds next to me, you know. So record or at least daily start before you get out of bed with a prayer of thankfulness and allow gratitude to grow you in discipleship. And if you haven't done it yet, pause this podcast, pause this YouTube video, and give thanks right now. You need to put me on mute if you're live with us. Put me on mute for 10, 15, 30 seconds and give thanks. Give thanks. There's never a bad moment to give thanks to God. All right. Because when we give thanks to God, what happens? Continue on here in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. When we give thanks to God, we grow in our gratitude, we grow in our praise and thanksgiving, we become a better disciple of following Jesus and his way of love. What happens? We become the light in the Lord, and therefore we can be the light to others in the way of love. I have someone I've been praying for a while now, it's been years, that she would come back to Jesus. She's been hurt by religious people. She has negative people influencing her in her life. And so I've been praying for years for her to come back to Jesus, come back to his light. And as I was praying for her a couple of years ago, one of the things God showed me is that if I want her to come back to the light needs to come from me. The light needs to be a warm, a soft, an attractive light, right? To draw her back on her own. You know, if I know some people like me love the summertime, but I know people who don't like the summertime. And just like the summertime, the sunlight, light's beautiful. It's warm, it's also can be harsh, right? And if we have too much light without the love, it becomes harsh. And what God showed me as I was praying for this person is if I drug her out into the light, she would get burned. She wouldn't be ready for it, right? You can't force someone, you can't drag someone into the light. Because they reject the light. And if they're not ready, they pull back away and they hide even further from the light, right? And so we need to be a light for others. That's not harsh. That's not blatant and blazing and you know, coming in that's, we should expose things, but not in a way that's harsh. But it needs to be a warm, attractive, soft light that draws people naturally back on their own. So you can take small steps. Right, not pulling people out, not dragging them out, but having them come in their own way, in their own time. And the best way to pull someone into that light, to bring that light to others, but being a soft, warm, attractive light, right? And so what God showed me is instead of praying for her to come into the light, which is a good prayer, but my real focus, my first prayer needs to be on myself, that everything I would do could be a light for her. The way I speak, the way I act, the way I show his love would be a light to her. It says, you know, how everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So I need to illuminate myself first and wake myself up so Christ's light can shine on me and through me to others, including her. I'm still praying that prayer. She's not there yet. She's not ready yet. She's still in a rebellious phase against Jesus. And it hurts and it sucks and it's hard to see someone you care about. I'm sure I'm not the only one here who has someone you care about that you want to come have them come into the light of Jesus with you. And that's why I love what Paul speaks here in Ephesians 5, because the best way to do that is by walking in the way of love. What does he say? It talks about how he says, be very careful then how you live. The Amplified Version, it says, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Again, be careful how you live. See that you walk carefully. It's an action, it's living things out, right? And in order to walk in the way of light and of love, we need to avoid things that dim our light and his light in us. And what does Paul say? That's drunkenness. It's drugs. It's debauchery. It's giving into our flesh, right? It's things that quite literally, as alcohol does, it depresses you. It depresses your light. If you want God's light to shine brightly within us, you need to do things that bring that light to shine brighter within us. And that means being filled daily with His Holy Spirit. And how we do that? It's from thankfulness and praise. When we thank the Holy Spirit, we give praise to God. He gives us the wisdom and the strength and the encouragement we need so we can be that light for others. He talks about how we need to be fruitful, right? Being fruitful for others, being fruitful in verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all that is goodness, righteousness, and truth. That fruit he's talking about comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? So coming into that and having that light and that love and that joy and that peace and that patience within us, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control within us, that's what we need to fight off the darkness. That's what we need to fight through, you know, the fruitless deeds of darkness we see in the world around us, right? We need to expose those things. It's true, you know, one bad apple ruins the bunch. Just last week, even last week, I had a bag of, you know, one of those bags, like prepackaged bag of apples, sitting at my counter. And I saw a bunch of fruit flies. I'm like, where do these fruit flies come from? Is it the bananas? Is it the, you know, the avocados? Like, the apples are fine. What's going on with these other fruits? And sure enough, I picked the bag up of apples. And even though they all look good on the outside, there's one apple at the bottom of the bag that got rotten. And so even though the rest of these apples all looked like they were good, healthy, I almost ate one apples, there's one bad apple in that bag at the very bottom that was rotten and ruined the whole bag. The whole bag of fruit flies and was disgusting because of one bad apple, I had to throw the rest of the apples out. And so quite literally, in order for us to have fruitfulness in our lives, to be people who bear good fruit, we need to expose and separate ourselves from the unhealthy, sour, bitter, rotten fruit of others, of the unhealthy, sour, bitter, rotten fruit of the world. And say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to walk in the way of love. I'm going to walk in the way of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I'm not going to let myself be given into the ways of the world, right? Instead, I'm going to give thankfulness. I'm going to give praise. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit daily to be filled. Like Pastor Brian says, we tend to leak, right? And so I'm going to leak the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit meter in my life goes down throughout my day or throughout my week, right? I need to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit. And that comes through thankfulness and praise daily. It comes from speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit daily. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord daily. Always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything daily. It's encouraging one another daily when we see ourselves. It's reaching out to a friend saying, hey, friend, I'm struggling today. Hey, friend, I need some encouragement today. Hey, I can't fill myself up right now. I'm in a hard place. I'm struggling to make it through my day. Can you pray for me? Can you give me a verse? Can you sing a song or sing a hymn or, you know, offer a worship song to God for me? Or give me a worship song I can sing to myself because I don't have the words right now. Again, that's when we need each other to walk in the way of love. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time choice, right? It's a daily choice, a daily step, a daily action with other Christ followers to come together and walk in the way of love. So our second application question here is, how can thankfulness transform you to be a greater source of light and love for someone else today? How can thankfulness transform you to be a greater source of light and love for someone else today? A shameless plug here, Our Christmas Love Week is a great way to get involved and literally live out thankfulness through serving on a team, through giving donations and blessing others in this in our community this season, whether it's kids in foster care, whether it's single moms, whether it's the homeless, whether it's those in recovery. There's so many different ways we can show thankfulness to others and be a light and show love to others today through our Christmas Love Week. And it's a great way in the season to give thankfulness and praise to God for what we have and show others who don't have that, who maybe don't have that hope or that light or the love yet in their lives, how they can also have that too through Jesus. Amen. Our last portion here is entitled Instructions for Christian Households, starting in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so I know this whole passage here, this end passage, has been used in some religious backgrounds in a negative way, in a way that for control or even abusive ways. And it breaks my heart to hear people's stories or hear people make comments that relate to this to God's word in such a destructive way. However, if you look at the context of the entire chapter, not just one or two misquoted verses, we can bring all this back here in this last portion here to verse 2, how we walk in the way of love in our homes. So in verse 21, when it says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that submission is a mutual respect, an honor, a dignity given and returned to one another, right? And when Paul speaks here, the word submit, it literally means to be under in rank. So the Greek means it's a military reference, right? How militaries have ranks, right? And how you see someone's under rank, it's not about saying that someone's unequal to someone else, but it's showing how there is order, right? There's an order, an understanding, a context, right, to how we listen to other people, right? And so when a man joins the military, as Paul's kind of referring to here, this reference is that when someone joins the military, they strip away their individuality. It's about the greater good of his brother in arms. It's about the greater good of his nation he's fighting for, right? And so we're saying here to submit to one another. That submission is not about abuse. The submission is not about having a power struggle or controlling other people. Again, it's out of reverence for Christ. It's submitting ourselves to one another, saying, hey, your views and your perspective, I'm going to honor you and your dignity matter as much to me as it does to Christ. As so we want to come together in unity to fight for one another, to stand by one another out of reverence for Christ, and strip away your individuality as Christ followers in the family of God. And we'll come together and have that community around us, right? And build that up mutually with one another. It goes on then, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And again, it's that picture, right? A marriage is a reflection of the love, honor, protection, and desire between Christ and his church. And so it's saying wives to submit to your husbands. It's saying how wives are called to love and honor their husbands. I will say too, let me do some commentaries. Really keeping a note is it's saying wives submit yourselves to your own husbands, not in submission to all men, right? Again, this is where people can misuse this text to have power and control and demean other people, especially women, but it's in submission to your own husbands, not to all men, right? Because wives, you're one flesh with your husband, not with someone else. So if someone tries to use that verse, who's not your husband, that's again, it's abusive, that's improper, right? But submit yourselves to your own husbands as one flesh, right? And again, also the caveat that it says, as Christ is head of the church. And this is again when counseling women and other people I talk to, it's in which means if there's a situation or a topic in which a husband is not leading as Christ and not following the second portion of this, where the husband's role is to make her holy and cleansing her by the washing and to present her to himself as a radiant church, right? Like Jesus does, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but to make her holy and blameless. So if you're in a situation as a wife as a female in a relationship, that someone is trying to make you submit to something that isn't a way Christ would lead his church, that's a red flag, right? That's when there needs to be some serious prayer and discernment, maybe even spiritual counseling, because submission in the kingdom is not submission to the world, right? In the culture, it's very counterculture, right? The culture of the world says submission is about control, it's about power, right? Whereas submission in the kingdom of God, kingdom submission is about trust and freedom. So if you're submitting in a way that's not creating more trust and freedom in a relationship, in a marriage, in this case, that's not kingdom submission, right? We submit ourselves to Christ, it's giving up ourselves in trust and freedom. It gives us freedom when we give ourselves up for Christ. If we give someone control, give someone power over us or authority in a negative way, if it's pressure or especially peer pressure for negative influences or negative behaviors, that's not kingdom submission. And so be really, really careful here, please, how people use this context. It's submitting yourselves as Christ is head of the church, submitting yourselves to Christ in a marriage as a reflection of Jesus's love for his church. And that's why it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy and cleansing, right? Just as wives are called to love and honor their husbands through submission, husbands are called to love their wives and only their wives, right? One flesh, again, called to love their wives through giving their protection and their desire of them above all else. Jesus Christ protects and desires his church. So they ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Again, that mutual love, mutual respect, right? Seeking what's best for one another. Not just a one-sided decision. As a one-sided, because I said so, right? Just as a husband would not want someone to come against him and said, because I said so, right? Whether it's another guy, a friend, a boss, right? A guy's not going to want someone above him to say, because I said so. That mutual love and respect and loving himself as and his wife as his own body is showing that it's a mutual love, mutual submission, right? To being honest, having open communication, to really seeking what's best for each other and relationship and a marriage and a family, right? And the reality is, at the end of the day, the best kind of household is one where wives and husbands are thankful for each other. So when you have thankfulness towards your spouse, that gratitude will naturally guide how they interact with you, how you interact with them. And it gives you both the grace you need to submit and honor and love and cherish one another. Now it comes back to thankfulness, that gratitude, right? It's not just a one time of the year kind of thing. It's an everyday thing. And we're thankful for each other and the family of God, thankful for our spouse. Or again, if you're single, thankful for your friends, thankful for your family members, right? We're thankful for one another. We can honor and love and cherish and submit to one another. Even in verse 21, right? Not just wives and husbands, but verse 21, submit to one another, all of us, right? Having that mutual love, mutual reverence for Christ is lived out through how we love and honor and treat one another. And it all comes back to thankfulness, right? So, application question number three as we close out, how can you show your gratitude for your spouse or another family member or friend today in a way that conveys the love, honor, and desire that Christ has for his church? Amen. So close out here. Our three questions again. Question one, or application, not really a question, application number one, take a note from Pastor Brennan's message. Have a daily gratitude journal of God's faithfulness. Record, or at least start daily before you even get out of bed, the prayer of thankfulness. Allow gratitude to grow you in discipleship. Question two, how can thankfulness transform you to be a greater source of light and love for someone else today? And question three, how can you show gratitude for your spouse or another family member or friend in a way that conveys the love, honor, and desire that Christ has for his church? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. God, we give you thanks and praise this morning for just who you are in our lives, what you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much, and you're the example we should be following of love. I pray, God, for everyone here and joining us, whether you're live with us now, whether you're listening afterward, God. I pray just for a special filling, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our tongues. God, help us to walk in the way of love today. Help us to grow in love and thankfulness so we can be a source of light for others, especially in this season, Lord God. We know there's so much darkness in the world around us. Help us to be your people, Lord, that bring light and love and grace and truth to those around us and to a world that needs it so, so badly. I ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Have an amazing rest of your day. Amazing rest of your week. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon. God bless.